Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the basics of Christianity was recorded at our 2009 South Africa Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Praise God. So last night, I started sharing out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. I'm not going to go back and reteach all of that. But I was talking about how that most people only see themselves as two parts. That's your physical body, which is obvious, and then your soulish realm, which is the way you think, your personality, your emotions. And most people are in touch with those two. If I ask you how you feel in your body or in your soul, you don't have to think about it and study for a week. You just know. You're in touch with those two realms. But the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that you're three parts, spirit, soul, and body. And the spirit part cannot be felt. It can't be seen. You don't know what you're like in the spirit any other way than through the Word of God. James chapter 1 says that the Word of God is like a spiritual mirror. Jesus said in John 6:63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So the only way you can know what has happened to you in the spirit is to look into the Word of God and just believe what it says. And much of what the Bible says about who we are in Christ is contrary to the way that you feel, the way that you look. And it takes faith to believe what the Bible says about you. But that's what I started sharing last night, is about what happens when you get born again. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. By observation, you can tell that's not talking about your body, it's not talking about your soul, but it's talking about your spirit. And I begin to share from Ephesians 4:24, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. 1 John 4:17, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. The only way to understand that is it's talking about who you are in the spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17, he that's joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And that means a singular one. You are identical to Jesus. Galatians chapter 4, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Romans chapter 8, verse 9, if any man does not have the Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. When you got born again, you are completely changed in your spirit. And there's a million applications of this, but one of the greatest reasons that this means something important to you is that John 4:24 says God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God doesn't look on the outside. He looks on the inside. All religion is concerned with your outside, how you dress, whether you wear the proper amount of makeup, how holy you act, and all of these kind of things. But God looks at a person's heart. And when you get born again, you receive a new heart. You know, again, there is a difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. In Psalms chapter 51, David was praying a prayer, and this is after he was exposed for having sexual relationship with Bathsheba and killing Bathsheba's husband, trying to cover his sin. And in Psalms chapter 51, David was praying a prayer and repenting of what he had done. And he said there, he says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And even in the Christian church today, people take those scriptures and sing these same songs. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. And they think, well, that's scripture. But that's an Old Testament scripture. And it was appropriate for David to pray that because Jesus hadn't come and made us a new creature. But the Bible says that when we get born again, we are now a new creature. And it says that you are given a new heart. For you as a Christian to pray, say, cleanse me, O God, you ought to get saved. And if you are saved, then you are already cleansed in your spirit. For you to say, oh God, give me a new heart, is wrong. It's okay for an Old Testament person before Jesus came to pray that, but in the New Covenant, Jesus has already given you a new heart. You can't get another new heart. And for you to say, oh, cast me not away from your presence. Oh, God, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. It was okay for David to pray that because in the Old Testament, people didn't have the Holy Spirit stay on them constantly. It came and went according to how holy they were living. But in the New Covenant, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would come and He would never leave us or forsake us, that He would be with us always, even unto the end of the earth. God never leaves us. And yet we pray prayers like, oh God, just go with us as we leave this place. How's God going to answer a stupid prayer like that? He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But then you say, oh God, we ask you to go with us. How's God going to answer a prayer like that? Is He going to leave and break His promise and break His word and become unfaithful and then come back and be with us? Somebody says, you know what? You're making a big deal out of nothing. That's not what we mean. You know the reason people pray the way they do is because it reveals what you think. You think that if you have a car wreck or if something bad happens, that, well, then God wasn't with you. And that's not true. The truth is God is with you whether you feel it, whether you know it or not. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And again, we are ignoring the truths about us being brand new people and having this power of God on the inside of us. So anyway, we've already talked about all those things. What I want to do today is deal with this. Some people say, well, I can see that when I first got born again, God gave me a new spirit. And then I was clean and holy and pure and I was forgiven of all sin. But you don't understand, I've sinned since then. And most people think that when you sin after you become a Christian, that it affects your relationship with God. That you lose some of that purity and holiness and that now you've got to repent again. And you got to be born again. And that you've got to get back into right standing with God. That you've lost some of your right standing with God as long as there's any sin in your life. And this really hurts the Christian life. Because before you were born again and you found out that you were a sinner, the solution was to confess Jesus as your Lord and get born again. And you were told that if you will do that, you'll be forgiven of all sin. But then when you do that, and then you come up the next, let's say that you get born again on a Sunday, and on Monday you wake up and you've spent 20 or 30 years hating Mondays and saying, oh, I've got to go back to work. And oh, I hate to go to work. And you just hate it. And so even though you got born again on Sunday and it was really exciting and you felt the love of God, you get up on Monday and your body's not changed. Your mind's not changed. If you've spent 20 or 30 years hating Monday, you know what? You're going to get up and start griping and complaining because you're in the habit of doing it. And all of a sudden, you don't feel that same joy that you felt yesterday. And it doesn't feel like God's with you. And so you say, what's wrong? So you go back to the person that led you to the Lord and says, what's wrong? I was so happy yesterday. Why aren't I happy today? And they say, sin. You must have sinned. They say, I thought God forgave me of all my sin. Oh, He did, but that was only up until yesterday. You must have sinned between when you got born again and now, and God's not going to fellowship with you. Now, this puts you in a bad position because the way you got rid of that guilt the first time was to get saved, but now you're already saved. So what do you do now? And they start telling you, oh, well, God will only fellowship with you to the degree that you're holy. And all, it's like, why didn't you tell me that yesterday? Why didn't you tell me that if I get born again, that now I've got to be perfect and do everything right to maintain the relationship with God? But see, after you get born again, you got born again by putting faith in Jesus and just believing He was going to forgive you of everything. But now the church is telling you, you got to come to church and you got to pay your tithe. You hadn't done any of those things. When you got born again, how much had you been going to church? How much had you been studying the Bible and praying and giving your tithes and doing all of these things? Most of you weren't doing anything. And you received the greatest miracle that you could ever receive, which was salvation. But now that you're saved, to get your prayer answered, to get your hangnail healed, to get any little thing from God, you got to fast and pray and do all of this. You know, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, 6, that as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. That means the same way that you got saved is the same way you continue to walk with the Lord. If you got saved without any goodness on your part, you just received it as a gift from God, that's the way that you ought to be healed. That's the way that you ought to be prospered. That's the way that you ought to receive joy and peace. But sad to say, some people get saved by grace and trusting God, but then they're told that after you're saved, you've got to do everything right. And if you aren't doing something right, that's the reason that God isn't answering your prayer and isn't moving in your life, because you aren't worthy. You may not say it the way I've just said it, but that's the way that most Christians think. You know, I testified about seeing my son raised from the dead. I've seen three people raised from the dead. I've seen blind eyes open, deaf ears open. Most of you believe in that stuff. You wouldn't be here on a Wednesday morning sitting under a tent in Heidelberg if you weren't a fanatic. You were either a fanatic or you were drugged here by a fanatic. One of the two. This is not your nod to God crowd. These are the people that you believe that God is alive and you believe that God has miracles. And so when I tell you about I've seen miracles, you say, oh, I believe in that. If somebody was to fall over dead here today, and if I said, hey, I've seen people raised from the dead, I'm going to pray and God's going to raise this person from the dead. How many of you agree with that? Boy, most of you just throw your hand up. I agree. You'd even get up close so that you could see. You would have excitement and faith. But you know where I could lose most of you? I say, all right, if you believe it, you come up here and pray for him. And all of a sudden, you had no doubt that God could do it. You were excited that I was going to pray. But when I say you pray, your faith turns to fear. Your excitement turns to dread. You lose your enthusiasm. Now, what happened? Did you quit believing that God could do it? Did you quit believing that God has the power? Why is it that when it's you pray, all of a sudden you don't have the same confidence? You know what it is? It's not that you doubt God's power. What you're doubting is God's willingness to use his power, because you link God's power and using you to your worth and value, and you, your own heart condemns you, and you know that you don't deserve it.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the almost too good to be true news of the gospel. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 South Africa Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a five-part album on CD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM238 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. Or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday. We hope to hear from you today.